Hi, Niecy. This is Clarence Moyer with the Words Daily. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you. Hey, I wanted to start with, I know that you and the cast of Reno 911 recently donated money to the family of George Floyd in the midst of all of this horrible tragedy that's going on right now. First of all, thank you so much for doing that. That's a tremendously generous action. Tell me what was going on around that, and tell me what your role was in that.
Well, it just seemed like the right thing to do. I mean, mm-hmm. We make a living playing cops. We play bumbling cops on television. But for our entire cast, police brutality and racism is not a laughing matter at all. Right. So it was very important for us to acknowledge that. What we decided to do was collectively as a cast to donate $10,000 towards the funeral for George Floyd.
A truly amazing thing that you did. And again, thank you so much for doing that. So how are you coping, given all of the things that are going on in Los Angeles and around the world?
I'm not well. I'll be honest with you. There's a myriad of emotions that take place on a daily basis, from anger to sadness to fear to joy to empathy to activism. There's just so many things that are happening, and it all, I think, hits you differently when you're raising a Black child. I'm definitely challenged these days. Let me say that.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what you're going through. And, certainly we're all challenged and emotionally in different ways. I mean, it's so difficult. I don't experience a lot of these things myself, but it's so difficult to watch other people go through it. So many people, I think, are just, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to help. They don't know, where to voice their opinions. And it's just a challenging time. And hopefully, this feels different, though. I feel like there's so many voices out there. There's so much anger. There's so much, call for action. I really hope that this can drive positive change moving forward.
We all do.
So let's talk about your Lifetime film, Stolen by My Mother, the Kamaya Mobley story.
Oh, yeah, that ought to lighten things up.
Yeah, I know.
Let's talk about a woman who steals a baby.
So what was it about this story about a woman who steals a baby that made you say, this is something that I want to do?
Well, I was familiar with the story. Mm-hmm. And I love that, Lifetime makes films ripped from the headline stories. And initially, I think that the way this project came to be for me was because my youngest daughter, who has the exact same face as mine, was going to audition to play the teenage Kamaya. Mm-hmm. And in making some calls and calling around, I ended up finding out through one of my friends in casting that they were still looking for the mother. And the next thing I know, an offer was in, came across my desk, and I was like, wait, what? So I it wasn't initially something that I was looking for me, but mm-hmm. trying to ferret out what was happening with the project for my daughter. And I ended up, leading the charge. And I just think that it was important because we told this story from the lens of Kamaya or Alexis. This is through her prism. And I thought that if anybody's story deserved to be told, it was hers, because she was the least culpable in all of it.
Right. So did you have any contact with Gloria Williams during the filming?
I did not.
Okay. So given that, how do you get into that mental state as an actress when you're looking at, you know, the things that she did, the choices that she made, the challenges of going to court? You know, how do you get into that emotionally? How do you get to that place?
Well, what you do is you go back and you look at as much work and as much footage. I don't mean to say work. I mean, you look at as much footage that mm-hmm. you can find, interviews and things to guide you, you know. And I remember entering into it saying, wow, you know, if this was me and I was on the stand for something, and I, you know, I would be pleading, I would be wailing, I would be gnashing. But when I looked at Gloria on the stand, what dawned on me is that this woman had been waiting for this moment for 18 years. Mm-hmm. She had been waiting for this information to come and for the other shoe to drop. She kept a baby bag packed for years so that when they came and got this baby, she would have everything ready for her. You know, so it was not lost on her that she lived with the anticipation of this day for as long as she had another woman's child.
Right.
So just trying to, right, using the materials of her on the stand were extremely helpful.
Wow. One of the things
they say, people who can make you laugh can make you cry, but it's not true in reverse.
I like that. I had not heard that. I like that. So one of the things I think is truly outstanding about the show is the chemistry that you have with the actress who plays your daughter, Raven Simone Farrell, who plays Kamaya, or Alexis. How did you two bond to make that so convincing?
Well, you know, I will say that when it comes to working with Miss Raven, I treated her just like I treat my children. Mm. I mothered her behind the scenes, so it made it much easier to do on camera.
Right.
You know what I mean? So she mm-hmm. would come to set, and I would be like, well, did you eat this morning? Well, where's your package? You know it's going to rain later. What's going on? Who are you texting? Let me see that phone. Is this the boy? Oh, you know. So I just stood in the gap, even when we weren't filming, so that on camera, there we could build some connective tissue.
So does she push back on that like a normal daughter would?
Like whose normal daughter?
Not yours, I guess.
Not no pushing back over here.
Excellent. I love that. You've talked about this a little bit already, but the trial scenes, those are heavy. Those are emotional. Those are, you know, intense moments. I can imagine, you know, being up there on the stand playing Gloria and having all of those eyes on you in that courtroom, all of that emotion, that hate that's out there from the birth mother. Talk to me about filming those scenes.
Those scenes were, you know, we had tough days.
Yeah.
And you know, there would be entire days where Taronda Jay, who played the birth mother, would be on the stand, and then there would be days when I would be on the stand. But we always made sure when we sat in the courtroom that there was an exchange of energy there, that we stayed completely connected to mm-hmm. what each other were saying on the stand. I think it helped a lot to build, you know, the exact tension that existed when the trial was happening.
Right. When you walk away from this project, or when you walked away from this project, and you looked back at the, you know, at who Gloria was, do you sympathize with her? Kind of what's your passing, you know, opinion of Gloria, having, you know, known about the case before, but then after having played her, did your opinion of her change at all?
I think that every woman has a story. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always end in glory. And I think that what we saw, what I experienced standing briefly in her shadow was her pain. And that is, I think, the driving force between the driving force that led to her taking another woman's baby. She was in a lot of mental and emotional pain that she did not have an outlet for, or she didn't believe she had an outlet for.
Right.
That's why we have to normalize therapy. That's why we have to normalize mental health. Mm-hmm. That's why we have to normalize self-care, because she was suffering in silence. And she made a decision, an ill-fated decision, based on her pain and her suffering. That is what I know for sure.
Right. And there's no, you know, and especially in rural communities where, you know, she was from, there's just nothing in the system that reaches out to help people like that. So, yeah, I mean.
And there are no winners in this story.
Right.
You have three women who experience pain, loss, and, you know, tragedy, suffering. All of the things. There are no winners here.
Right. And that is another thing I found really interesting, and probably this is mirrored in you know, reality, of course, but, you know, that's another thing I found really interesting about the film was it is told from Alexis Kamaya's perspective, and she did not reject Gloria as a mother, even though Gloria had taken her as an infant. And she had a hard time. The film shows that she had a hard time bonding with her birth mother. And they had challenges, you know, and so I thought that was really interesting too.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've only known one mother your entire life. So her meeting Shanar Mobley and her birth father, was Alexis meeting them was challenging because it's like an instant family,
mm-hmm.
You know, like today. Now you know. Here's where it gets tricky. Shanara was longing for Kamaya for 18 years. Kamaya, Alexis, had no idea that this woman existed. So what Shanara was experiencing, she wanted to be reciprocal as soon as she finally got her daughter back.
Right.
When her daughter is saying, I don't know you from a can of paint. I don't know you at all. So there is going to be some challenge in instantly saying, deny this other woman, deny Gloria, take it up and, you know, pick up your things and follow me.
Right.
So there were definitely struggles and challenges with how that played out.
Mm-hmm. So, moving on to, you're also in Mrs. America, this season, which is also a tremendous, limited series. What did it mean to you to be a part of that story?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, the saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Hmm. There were definitely things that, you know, the birth of the Women's Live movement we're dealing with that have come full circle, you know, and you say, are we back on this? Are we still talking about this particular right for women and what to do with our bodies and how we can move around and all of those things? And, you know, right now, there is a large call to vote. You know what I mean? And we deal with all of those things in Mrs. America. And yep. I was just happy to be a part to introduce Flo Kennedy to people who may not have been familiar with who she was and the part she played. Being a part of not only feminism, but Black feminism.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's start with the cast. I mean,
yes. You know,
every woman I've ever admired is in this project. You know, Cate Blanchett, Uzo Adobo, Elizabeth Banks, Margot Martindale, you know, Ari Parker. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, everybody is in this movie. So I was, you know what I mean? You had me at hello. What is it? Yes, let me let me put on a pair of pants and run across town. So, you know, I'm happy to have been able to be a part of it. The one thing I will tell you that a lot of people do not know is that when we got to fellowship behind the scenes, it was as rich, it was as real as, you know, a connection with people that I've known all my life. I could not even believe how well we got along. And I'm going to tell you something that the world does not know. And that is that Sarah Paulson is the funniest woman that probably God has blown breath into. I never knew she was funny. I said, girl, they got you up here doing all this drama and you are hilarious. She's so funny, in fact, that we decided to do a buddy comedy together. I was like, we have to. And she was like, I agree.
What's that gonna
and
be?
I was like, well, we don't know. We started at a place about two women who were the least likely to be friends ending up on jury duty together. And it goes from there. So we'll see if the whole backdrop of jury duty sticks, but we definitely will find the space and the place in for our comedic art to intersect.
That's fantastic. You know, I was going to say one of my favorite scenes of yours was in that Sarah Paulson centered episode where she's singing "This Land Is Your Land," and you tell her, you know, I don't remember exactly what the word was, but it was basically saying, you know, that's a socialist song or something like that. I love just the look that you give her when she's singing that song, like you can't believe it.
We had a good time that night. That was the night we decided to do a movie together.
I mean, the cast, the riches of acting in this series, from, you know, everybody, all the different perspectives on it. I mean, I absolutely love Mrs. America. And I think one of the things I love the most about it is it's so diverse. I mean, it's diverse in front of the camera and it's diverse behind the camera. And it tells you so many different aspects of the ERA movement. It's not just about Phyllis Schlafly. And, it broadens that perspective so deeply.
And, you know, another thing that, I'll say this too. We would be on set all day. You're talking about maybe a 12 or 14 hour day. And at wrap be like, oh, so what are you guys doing? Everybody want to get together in the lobby of the hotel? It's like, are we still hanging out? We've been together all day. You know, so we genuinely had a fondness for one another. The other thing that I'm happy I get to do right now is to play a therapist on Mindy Kaling's Never Have I Ever. And yes. The thing that I love about that is the fact that it normalizes therapy and mental health awareness for young people. See, because typically, you know, first of all, therapy had always been very taboo as far as it in my community and as far as I could acknowledge. But then when it started to, you know, cross the frame, it was something for adults. And now we have a young girl in Davy who is seeing a therapist. And I just love that, you know, I lend my art and my time and my talent towards something that could move the needle on the dial for people who are watching at home.
Right.
That having someone to talk to, it makes it less taboo because you may see some of your favorite actors doing it on television.
Right. And that's very important. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted to, we've seen you now on, you've returned to Reno 911, of course. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back to some of those roles. So you're balancing drama, you're balancing comedy, you know, are we going to see you do more comedy here in the next couple of releases? Because, you know, I think the world needs to laugh right now. And I got to tell you, I would love to see some more Denise Hemphill in my life.
First of all, Ryan Murphy had me at hello when he called me for Scream Queens. I didn't even know what it was, but he was like, Niecy, it's Ryan. I want to talk to you about something. And I was like, yes, I'll do it. That was pretty much how the conversation went. So I did love playing her. I don't know. I heard a rumor about some sort of a Scream Queens reboot, but I don't know if it's true. I mean, you never know with these things. But would I put that cop uniform back on in a heartbeat? And I will tell you, I've played a lot of women, mothers, who were dealing with, you know, great hardships and had, you know, heavy anchors around them, emotional anchors. You know, I was in Uncorked and played a mother with cancer. I was in When They See Us and I played a mother who's losing her child to the, what I'm calling the injustice system. You know, women who were going through so many things. My series Claws, you know, this woman, I played Desna, has so many emotional ups and downs that it was utterly delicious to get back into my police uniform with my baby hair and my big booty to go do Reno. and I love that for such a time as this, that during a pandemic, that we could bring people who were at home something nostalgic, yet still funny. So I don't know what's next. If it were left up to me, I would rather see you laughing than crying. Right. But I'm reading scripts now and we'll see what sticks.
So last question, what is a dream role for you? What is something that you would like to do that you haven't had the chance to do? Because you had to have such a varied and diverse career, but what is something that you haven't had the opportunity to do yet?
Ooh, dream role. You know what? I would probably say a dark comedy, where I'm not really dolled up.
Okay.
You know, we are taught as actresses from the genesis of our career, when you walk into a set, you go straight to hair and makeup. You know what I mean? You put on all the things, all the accoutrement, two pair of lashes, all the lipstick. You stand under light that makes it look like angels are dancing on your face. But there was something that changed me when I did HBO's Getting On, which was a dark comedy about women, and I'm going to pull these air quotes from heaven, of a certain age. That were taking care of the elderly. It was a grounded funniness that was still had, you know, it didn't have a glamorous element to it. Let me say that.
It has its roots in reality.
If I could combine, you know, a dark comedy, something where you could laugh and also feel brokenness, but at the same time, come to work, looking like, and the charge of the day is for me to look like I do when I'm at home washing dishes. I would love it.
Okay. So we'll put that out there in the universe and see if that happens.
There we go.
Well, Niecy Nash, thank you so much for your time today and especially during this difficult time we're all going through. So thank you so much for the conversation and thank you for the performance in Lifetime Stolen by My Mother.
Thank you.
You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.